Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and my mission is to bring you the most interesting entrepreneurs and business people that I can find. And these people are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice with us each week. And they do even better than that. They drill down and they share their story, how they got where they are today, the trials and tribulations that they encountered on the way and still continue to do so. They have great stories and they share them. Today I am welcoming back to the show Jay Massey, who describes himself as an active real estate investorpreneur. I think I said that correctly. He's an author with a new book that just came out, a speaker, a community leader, and a devoted father and husband. And his is a true rags-to-riches story. And we covered that a lot in our last interview, but I'll kind of recap here. In just 6 years, he went from the struggle that so many people experience, you know, as he worked hard to provide for his family in Southern California, and to amassing an impressive real estate portfolio that includes over 300 units of residential and commercial properties, as well as private notes and mortgages. I'm a little bit out of breath. I was chasing my dog before I jumped on the radio. But anyway, through a series of life-altering events, including the serious illness of his wife who was pregnant, an accident that left him with a punctured lung and prevented him from being able to work, and even losing and squatting in their foreclosed family home, Jay learned quickly that he had to change, and I mean really change his mindset if he wanted to survive and thrive. So he immediately took action. He immersed himself into an intensive real estate investor training and hasn't looked back since. And he's got a remarkable story. He's here to share a lot of it with us. And I'm excited to have him back on the show. He's a fun guest, but he's an informative guest. Jay, welcome. Welcome back. I'm so delighted to speak with you again today.
Excellent. I am so glad to be here. Thank you very, very much for having me again and the kind words, and I like having fun and I like being able to assist in any way that I can.
Well, you've got a great story. I mean, you've got a remarkable story. You know, you didn't sit back, well, at least you didn't sit in a corner sucking your thumb for very long after all these things befell you. I mean, I'm sure you did for a while.
The key word is very long. Yes, right,
exactly.
Not too long.
Exactly, but you got up and you said, okay, I've got a wife, I've got a family, I've got to hold my head up in my community, I'm going to go do something. And I love those kinds of stories. I find, and I'm sure you do because you talk with people all over the country and in other countries, that people, no matter how successful they may appear right now, we all have our troubles. And our troubles may have been as early as yesterday or as long ago as 30 years. We all have them.
Well, and I think the probably the biggest thing to understand is that, troubles aren't, they don't judge color, they don't judge size, they don't really
right.
care. They're very non-discriminatory. But the mm-hmm. point isn't to not have troubles. The point is how do you learn to respond when you do have trouble? I mean, we all have them, like
right.
you said. I mean, I was saying this just to one of my coaching clients yesterday. It's like, look, the rain falls on me just like it falls on you. So the sunshine falls on you just like it does on me. The only difference is our perception and how we choose to respond to it. And by mm-hmm. responding to it and learning to respond to it in a way that actually supports the direction we want to go, well, that's when we grow.
And how do you, I mean, you had some catastrophic things happen. I have to ask, how long did you suck your thumb and rock back and forth in the corner? I have to know.
I know. I can't really tell you the exact length of time, but I can tell you that it happened because I was in shock. I mean, you're talking about my spouse was unable to walk and talk. Or sorry, I was unable to walk and talk. My spouse couldn't eat or drink, and It's like, what do you do? I don't know. No, and it's not like there's a big, you know, Wikipedia file on what to do when this happens, you know, and there wasn't a whole lot of individuals around you who said, oh, yeah, when that happened to me, this is how you handle it. It was just a shock to my system. I mean, and then learning the danger of being self-employed at that time, it was all happening simultaneously. It was like, I mean, you know, some people say that having a baby is stressful. Some people say that moving is stressful. Some people say that getting a new job is stressful. Well, we were doing all of those on top of failing health. It was crazy. But the point is it's a matter of focus. Yes, you're going to suck your thumb for a while. That's fine. And it doesn't take forever to recover, but what it does take is focus. And I've said this before, focused energy is much better than energy dispersed. When you're focused in your energy, you can do things in small burst amounts of time. And that's when I began to learn that it doesn't take 8 hours a day to actually accomplish what we consider to be a day's worth of work. And adopting that mental mindset and going in that direction has assisted me and being able to do more with, quote-unquote, less time and then learning to leverage and all the other skills. I mean, the very thing that you do, you know, is learn. You learn the same skill because you can't affect the world in a major way all on your own. And that it took all those things to shatter those paradigms for me, but I'm glad it did.
Now, when you say you have to learn to kind of manage these skills, how did you know what skills that you had to go out and find? Because, I mean, you were doing something completely different from what you're doing now. You had to stop, learn all these new skills about real estate. You taught yourself largely. How did you know? Look, let me kind of back this up. It would have been so easy to go the easy route, flow downstream, you know, go get welfare, go get, you know, assistance wherever you could get it. Do whatever a lot of people are doing these days, but you avoided that. How did you, what was your mindset? I guess I want to dig into your head a little bit. What made you say, nope, I'm not going to do that. It's easy. It's out there. Yes, it's accessible. It's just not what I want to do.
Well, and the funny thing about you asking this question, there's only been one other person who has asked me this question, and that was Robert Kiyosaki when I had dinner with him a number of years ago.
I'm in good company.
And, yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. But, yes, no, he asked me the exact same question. And to be clear, it's not that we didn't avail ourselves of those resources. That I'm okay. I mean, they're there for a temporary purpose. What's important is to get yourself off.
Right, they're a bridge. It's not a lifestyle.
And that's the difference. And it was just, and as I told him, I tell you, it was not, it's just not, I don't know, it never was an option, really. I mean, it didn't seem like that's what we should continue to do. The point
character
is learning.
Thing. Yeah, your character was such that, you know, a helping hand, absolutely, and you're grateful for it. Is this going to be your lifestyle forever and ever? Oh, my God, no, is what I'm hearing.
Right. No, that doesn't exactly make me feel excited. I mean, and those are the things that you learn to balance. You learn to stand on your own two feet, per se. And if you fall back down, then you know they're there. The point is you fall down, you get up, you fall down, you get up, and you figure it out as you go. It's never going to be perfect, and you ask, how did I learn the skills? It's not, or how did I know what skills to learn? I didn't know. Failure is the best teacher. The challenge is, the only thing I had was a willingness to fail, you know, and I tell everyone, and I tell them to fail fast, to fail forward, and to fail frequently. If you can do those three things, you'll find yourself a success in no time.
Right. And that's absolutely true. I mean, every day you have little crises, you have little failures, but when you do, it's just the nature of life. But when at the end of the day and you're trying to go to sleep, you say, okay, you know, I had some kind of cruddy moments there, but look at the rest of it. It was phenomenal. It's a good way to live.
Yeah. And that, I don't know. I feel more alive. Let's just put it that way. And having these learning, I think part of it has to do with learning how to overcome adversity. A lot of it has to do with learning that adversity, or facing an adversity, or having a problem, or having a challenge, or something, that's new to you isn't the end of your life or world. It doesn't mean that you can't recover. I mean, I think that's the one thing that if people, all of us in general, just learn to handle our bigger problems, you know. So people ask all the time, how do I earn more money? Well, how do you provide bigger solutions? You know, that's the better question. And you'd only learn to provide a solution after you tackle the problem, either yours or someone else's. That's what creates the value in the marketplace. That's what people are looking for. And that's what we strive to do. We strive to create value based upon the lessons that I've gone through and the team has gone through and the company has gone through so that people can go avail themselves of the ability to increase their cash flow.
And I love that attitude because, honestly, the human condition is adversity. It's just what it's all about. And I think if you make it too easy on yourself, sometimes you're not learning those lessons.
yeah, that's one of the one of the things that I don't really appreciate about our school system is that it takes those who are academically smart and makes them think that the world is somehow supposed to lay at their feet, and that's just not the way the world works. And it makes you know, for a number of years we get entrained into thinking, oh, this is, life is easy, this is going to be great, everywhere I go people like me, I get A's and I all this other stuff, but then we get, you know, thrust into the real world, and then there's a shock to the system and you're like, oh, what do you mean I didn't do something right? That's not supposed to happen.
What do you mean
I get
not
A's?
Special I know.
Totally.
It's interesting. So tell people a little bit, because I didn't ask you to do this at the top of the hour, tell people where they can find you on the internet. And when you say your company, what are we talking about here?
Got it. When I say the company, I'm talking about Cashflow Diary. We do a number of different things between raising capital and deploying it into the real estate market so that people, because one of the things I love doing is providing streams of cash flow for our investors. The other thing I love doing is providing clean, safe, affordable housing. Now, whether that be residential housing, housing a business through commercial real estate, or resort development, either nationally or internationally, all of those things can provide housing. So that's part of definitely what we do there. And then, you know, obviously we definitely have the Facebook and the Twitter stuff and all these other things. But the thing that we're really excited about right now is my book that has the entire story in it, a lot of our business plan. Literally, people can read this book and begin to actually take actionable steps towards making real estate happen for themselves. And I'm excited about it because I've been getting feedback and testimonials from a ton of different people, and they're just like, and I'm just like, wow, this is good, this is fun, and I'm glad that people are out there actually taking action and taking on their lives is what I like to call it.
Well, the last time you were here, we talked a little bit about the book. It wasn't quite ready, I don't think. And I remember you telling me it was kind of a tell-all book. So what's that all about?
Well, we start at the beginning. I mean, people ask me all the time what I've told my story. And depending on how much time I have, you may have heard it all or bits and pieces, because there's just a lot to all the stuff that was going on and a lot to the mindset that we had to develop. People ask me similar questions like you've asked. How did you develop the mindset to go out there and do all these things? Well, we put it in the book, and I gave you steps to follow. And then it became, well, what types of deals did you do first? And I put it in the book and gave you steps to follow. And then it, you know, people ask me all the time, how did you make the switch to multifamily housing? Well, I put it in the book and gave you steps to follow. And then people ask, you know, did you ever have anything go wrong? And I go, yeah. And then I put it in the book, and I gave you the mindset required to overcome it. It was basically a whole bunch of questions. I forgot this one, because this is the big one. Jay, how on earth have you raised millions of dollars when you started with a credit score of 398 and couldn't put $75 together? Well, I put it in the book, and I gave you steps to follow. Because everywhere I go, I get those questions all the time, and it's not that I'm tired of answering them. It's just that I can help you with more than just that. So let's give you a quick, easy way to consume that information so that they have the ability so we can talk about real stuff that gets you in action, that puts a paycheck in your pocket, that begins to create value in the marketplace. And you get an insight into the way that I think. And for some of you, that could be scary. Others of you, you'll enjoy it. And at the end of the day, it's about how to consider the customer, create value, and make positive things happen. And so that, and just for fun, for all of those, because we're still a few days away, we're running a promotion right now where everybody who purchases or pre-orders the book, you get the digital advanced reading copy, which means you physically get a PDF version of the interior of the book immediately today, and you're going to get a signed copy of the book when it comes out. Should be, I'm going to say, no more than 10 days from right now. That's what I'm being told. We just had an issue with the back cover, but oh well, the printer is fixing it. So I'm being told it's around 10 days from right this mm-hmm. moment. So I am overly excited about this, and it's kind of hard to believe. You know, a few short years ago, if you told me I'd be writing a book, talking to thousands and thousands of people on stages and internationally and all this stuff, I would have ran the other way, completely scared, because there's no way that I'd have anything to say. I didn't think of that. I didn't think that would be the case.
Well, and you said something earlier. I've got a couple of questions. Number one, where do people find the book? But you also said, and this is my second point, you said something very, very important, you know, just a few minutes ago about getting in action. So let's circle back around to that. But right now, tell people where they can find the book.
You can find the book so I've done some things. I like technology, and many of you are going to enjoy this. So you can literally get right now a sample chapter of the book by sending a text message. Send the word sample to 949-682-3565. 949-682-3565. For those of you who are like, you know what, I don't need a sample, I get it, I'm ready to move forward, plus I want to get the digital advanced reading copy, you're just going to send the word book to 949-682-3565. And then, of course, my international friends, I know you can't do the text message thing, so you're going to go to cashflowdiary.com/book, and it's all right there. You'll see a short video, you'll be able to get the sample chapter, and get the digital advanced reading copy today as well.
I love it. I was watching I'm going to share something that it has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but I was watching one of your webinars, and you did something very similar. You know, you had the text saying, okay, I've got to know how he did that. So we started this big, you know, conversation, but how did you do that? And then you gave me, I think it was callloop.com, you told me.
Yes,
and you know, you were giving me all this great info, and I was like, woohoo.
Yes. I definitely love. I love to make it easy for people to connect with us as mm-hmm. much as I possibly can, and that's one of the things. That's one of the lessons in the book, by the way. One of the things that I've seen, because the first strategy I started with was what's known as wholesaling. It's a way to purchase property at a discount, buy property and sell property at a discount, and creating value mm-hmm. in the middle. And what I find is that many people have trouble selling their houses because they're not making it easy for their customer to buy from them, and it gets a little challenging. See, for example, not everyone right now is near a computer, but they've got their cell phone in their hand. Maybe they're, you know, jogging right. or on the treadmill or what have you. All of those things tend to help make it better they just help make it better so that everything works when someone wants to connect with you. So we came up with a very easy way, and then we had to find the right phone number and make it easy words to remember. 949-682-3565 isn't overly complicated, but it makes it easy for people to do the things that we're wanting them to do. So when you're packaging mm-hmm. your real estate together, you know, for example, here's a quick lesson. You know that the customer, when they buy the house, they still need a tenant, they still need insurance, they still need financing. You know that. You know they still need property management and all of those things. So wouldn't it be easier if you did like the McDonald's play and packaged it all together and called it a number one? And that's how we do it. So when people purchase right. property from us, all of those things are already included to make it very, very easy so that someone can buy from us or someone can text. So someone can always get what they're looking for from us at any time.
And, you know, Jay, something that simple as thinking ahead for the prospective buyer, it really does make mm-hmm. a difference. I mean, when I bought this house, I bought it. My house is not 10 years old yet, but I bought it the week after Hurricane Katrina. Remember, we had Katrina and Rita back-to-back down here, I mean, within a week of each other. And I mean, corporations in New Orleans were buying up every house that was on the market side unseen so they could house their executives and their families. And, I mean, houses were just being bought. It was crazy. And I literally bought my house the day it listed. I had a really good real estate agent. I was at work 50 miles away. I was in an office 50 miles away. And she sent me pictures of it. She came in and she took videos, and I said, just buy it. I'll sign the papers when I get home. Just buy it. Fortunately, I liked the house. But one of the things that I noticed when I came in, which I thought was very smart of these sellers, even though they only had one person come through, me, was that they had taken paint chips. They had taken pieces of tile. All of the different things that went into the making of this house, the floor plans, everything was on the table in the dining room. So I knew I wasn't going to have to go hunt for paint chips down the road or figure out what kind of tile if I broke one or, you know, the wood flooring. Everything was right there. I thought it was very smart.
Yeah, and they made it easy. They made it very considered.
Easy. Yeah, even though I'd already bought the house, that would have prompted me to go, okay. You know, it would have been a comfort level for me. I don't have to hunt for these things. I wouldn't have known that I would have to hunt for them. But once I saw it, I was like, aha. Yeah, you know, it's just thinking forward, you know?
I get it exactly. And that's the thing. It's not that I'm saying to the customer, if I don't help you, you won't be able to get quality property management or insurance, et cetera. Look, we know you're going to need them, so if you want them, here they are. If you want to do it yourself, knock yourself out, but we've already got it for you. That's the whole point that I think many people would be able to use, take advantage of if they're going out there to grow their business or just consider anything that they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, and that really does work in any business. As long as you're a step ahead in the buying process and you're saying, okay, the buying process or the selling process doesn't stop here. You know, it's an ongoing thing. You're going to need this, that, and the other. And here are some resources for you. I think it's very smart.
Well, we try. We try.
Listen, you're not only an investor. Oh, I wanted to go back. I knew I wanted people to go get your book, but... Let's talk about getting in action, because I think that is the most important component of any plan. You can think, you can plot, you can dream it. I mean, you can sit and just wallpaper over it and put, you know, a cherry on top. If there's no action, it's not a good plan, right?
Right. But well, you're not done. It's just a good idea at the moment. you have no idea.
Right.
But when it comes to taking action, that's kind of, I guess, that's the thing we do best over here is we execute. And I'm always telling the team, execute. And the main thing to understand is that by becoming a person, I call it now a clock or moving at the speed of instruction. These are concepts additionally covered in the book. But it means to not let what you think to be your better idea get in the way. Oftentimes, specifically, like right now, when I'm working with a new person who's looking at purchasing property for the first time or 101st time, that when we're on the buy side of a transaction, you are dealing with fear. When we're on the selling side, we're dealing with greed. And this is the same thing with all of our plans. So when you may write a plan, but you haven't, quote-unquote, bought into it until – you've actually taken action. So you're on the buy side of that transaction. You're buying that. You're like, ooh, I wrote all these things down, but do I really believe my plan is going to work? And if I really believe my plan is going to work, then I will take these actions. You haven't bought yet, but you're still dealing with fear. And that becomes a challenge because you're not taking the actions. And many of us, and this is the thing that's very challenging, is that many of us walk around saying things like, well, I don't think it's the right time. I want to be more wise about it. Let me pray about it. All these things. And I pray. I get it. I understand that. But there's still an action component. Jesus prayed, got up, and went. That's what happened. He didn't stay. And there is a moment where you must do all of those things. But there's also that moment where you must begin to take massive and immediate action towards the goal. Because the thing that you're fearing is typically for me, I'm fearing that what I planned won't work. Well, you're right. It won't work the way you probably planned it, and you won't know until you get into what I call the feedback loop. You must be in that feedback loop, because with that feedback, then and only then can you make the changes in course that lead you to success. Until you get that feedback, you don't know. You're just guessing. But most of us are afraid to even get into that feedback loop. You know, you go buy your first property, get into that feedback loop. Do I like this whole idea of passive income through real estate? You know, we try to make it as easy as possible for people to get into that feedback loop so that they can go, yeah, this makes sense for me. This is good. But occasionally, you know, we're always still dealing with that fear monster, which tends to, you know, stop us. And fear runs around in disguise. We just use, you know, words like I'm being wise. Let me pray about it. Now, I don't know. Let me get back to you later. When is the last time anyone's gotten back to you later?
And they don't.
It's so funny.
Have you ever been in a car dealership and the man says, oh, let me talk to my wife, and you can see everybody in the room just slump. It's like, well, that one's gone. It's over.
Yeah, right.
And I've seen it happen. It's the funniest darn thing.
Exactly. And that, you know, those are the things that really irritate me, is because the funny thing is that the one thing that human beings, we don't like saying is the word no. And I don't understand that. We want to say yes, but we won't say no. That man knows he's not actually intending on talking to his wife about it.
No.
I would rather you tell me,
I'm not,
just tell me that is more honest. And that's a whole different level of integrity when you can just tell somebody, no, you just tell them no, just say no, be straight with me. I'm going to be very clear and straight with you. You be straight with me.
I agree. I was outside the other day with my yard crew. And then these college kids, I hire these starving college kids and, you know, pay them and I feed them very well and they do great work and it works out very well. And the craziest thing, I mean, every time I stepped outside, somebody popped out of nowhere. One was from Edward Jones. Another one was trying to sell me those little crummy steaks that your dog won't eat. And it seemed like everybody and their grandmother was trying to sell me something that day. And I was just very straightforward. No, thank you. I'm not interested, but you have a nice day. I didn't play around. I just said, no, thank you. At the end of the day, one of the kids said, you know, this was a lot of work. And I think, you know, I know we agreed on this amount, but I normally charge this. And would you meet me in the middle? And I looked at him. I said, have you watched me deal with those three groups of people today? And he said, yes, ma'am. I said, do you want to ask me that question again? He said, no, ma'am. And that was the end of that. I said, a deal is a deal. You agreed on it, and we're going to stick with it. Yes, ma'am. And that was the end. You just don't, if you don't play around with people, I think you get a little more respect.
Well, and you get stuff done. I mean, how much time is wasted in the supposed dance? I'm like, let's stop dancing. Let's start doing. That's what's most important.
Right. So basically, and I love what you're saying here, you're just saying, look, come up with the idea, don't analyze it to death, don't ask your mother and your aunt what they think about it. If you really feel strongly about it, just do it. Take some kind of an action step.
Yes, Anthony Robbins he's always said, never leave the scene of a decision without taking measurable action towards it. And that's the thing that I'm talking about, is that you've got to take measurable action towards whatever it is you considered that you're deciding. Your decision's not complete until you have something tangible. People say, for example, we're well into the year here. So, you know, many people often say, I want to lose weight or make more money at the beginning of the year. Well, have you lost weight? And what have you done in the last, you know, number of weeks that you can point to and said, this is what I did that is going to increase, you know, my income or decrease, you know, my size. Those are the things that I'm talking about. You should have something like that. And for whatever reason, we've trained ourselves to think that change is supposed to take forever. And I don't know where that comes from. And fortunately for me, you know, that was the mindset it just could not be. There was no time to let change take forever.
Yeah, but if you do that, Jay, I mean, if you allow time to take, you know, kind of do whatever time wants to do with you, you've completely lost control. You're not in control of it anymore.
Right, right.
And that's no
those
way to
are the
live.
Things, No. Well, it's no way to live. Well, okay. So now you're assuming people are living and not just existing, and that's the thing is that we need typically something to wake us up to that concept of, hey, maybe I'm not making the decisions and I'm just letting things happen to me, and that's kind of where I'm coming from by sharing this information. This is what it took, my situation, all that stuff that happened to me is what it took to wake me up. I'm hoping that by sharing it doesn't take that. Hopefully this conversation that I'm having with you can wake some people up and move them in the direction closer to what it is that they're looking to accomplish.
Right. And I guess that's why I love chatting with you, because you've got this story and you had to hit that wall hard. But it doesn't have to be that way for everybody. I mean, we all can take small steps every day. You know, just, I don't know about you, I get up every day and I look at the day before briefly, because I don't look in my rearview mirror a whole lot. But I look at the day before and go, okay, what didn't get done? Where can I be a little bit better today? And where can I educate myself a little bit more? Those are empowering thoughts to me, not where I go, oh, geez, you know, that was a mistake. Oh, that didn't get done. Or darn it, darn it, darn it. I don't do that. I just go ahead, wipe it off of the list, put it on the list, get it done, and go, okay, now I'm standing up, I'm taking deep breaths, my shoulders are back. Now I'm excited. I'm going to go do something new today. And they're all baby steps. They are just, you're going from one 15-minute increment to another. And I think if people
like
would,
said that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you would look at your life as increments, your day as increments, instead of, oh, my God, I've got to go deal with the bank right now, blah, 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 blah. That's probably only an hour out of your day. Why are you panicking about the whole 18 hours that you're awake or whatever it is? It's a mindset, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Totally understood. I the thing is about that whole 15 minutes is, the 15 minutes is important because there is a you know, blocking that time, and the when we break it down into those small chunks, it's something that we can actually obtain and tackle, and then over time, what ends up happening, you end up in a situation where you're like, wow, I got it all done.
Right. I rather suspect you kind of do the same thing, but I think a lot of people go, oh, I've got this huge thing, or it may be huge in their mind, and they're so consumed with this one thing that they're not paying attention to the 10 minutes and the 5 minutes and the 15 minutes that's going on all day long. You know, the minutes are just bleeding away.
And that's the thing. It's like, even with, so you're ready to get started in a new business, you're ready to build your cash flow, you're ready to do anything. What could you do in the next 15 minutes that moves you one step closer? Instead of going, oh, my God, what happens? Because the first thing that happens is in our head, we go, oh, what happens if the tenant, you know, doesn't pay rent? Okay, all right, slow down. What is the step? There are so many steps that need to happen long before that one. Let's focus on those. And let's get that done. And then let's get that next one done. And then let's get that next one done. Before we even get there, you've already jumped well past a whole bunch of things you've never experienced, and you're straight down to the, what happens when the tenant doesn't pay rent? Okay, no. Let's focus on, how do we even find a property and determine how many properties you need to put yourself in a position where you don't have to work? Let's start there.
Nice.
And then we go one at a time.
Exactly. So you taught yourself this, didn't you?
I don't know if I taught myself as much as life teaches you in the way that life does, because that's just what, you know, life has the ability to do, is it teaches you in very, you know, in the way that life does. It doesn't just say, hey, here's the thing about life is that it gives you the tests long before it gives you the workbook and study guide.
No kidding. What's that all about? It doesn't seem fair.
So yeah, and you better pass. Otherwise, it's oh, here comes the lesson. It's learning. If there is one thing, I just developed the desire to say, to know that, you know, I think one of my mentors just taught me that, you know, that we all go through four stages of learning, all of us. We don't know what we don't know. You know, that's
right.
Typically called the unconscious incompetence. And then we now get to the point, like right now, during this conversation, some people may be transitioning from not knowing what they didn't know, which is why they listened to you. And then now they're transitioning into knowing what they don't know. They now know that they don't know anything. So they are conscious about their incompetence. And then eventually we transition into, well, I know what to do, but I got to think about it. And we typically call that conscious competence. But we're all seeking unconscious competence where we don't even have to think about it. We just move. And the problem is we want to skip from step one all the way to step four. And it just does not happen. And we want to do it without pain, without experiencing anything negative. And so we get stuck in that cycle of, well, let me think about it, let me pray about it, let me read, let me talk to my cousin, and oh, by the way, my dog said no, so I can't do it. You know, all of those things go through our heads,
right,
and
it
just gets in the way.
So Jay is in a matter, listen, I'm guilty. I do the same thing. Yeah, and I consider myself to be a fairly competent person, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day, but some days I'm like, really, Denise? Why has this been on the back burner for so long? And you just identified it. It's fear, period. I will go from step A to step Z in a matter of a nanosecond and go, oh, well, that's not going to work. And then I have to call myself on the carpet and go, come on, really? Yeah, and I hate having chats with myself because, you know, I can argue really, really well. So sometimes I just weigh myself down with, you know, standing on the fence and going, okay, Denise, your turn. Denise, number two, you're up next. It's crazy.
I know. Well, we're our own worst enemy in a lot of ways, but you got a cat or two. They can argue with you, right?
They do.
Well, there you go.
Cogently. Yeah. But, you know, we're all guilty of that. I mean, I've got a project right now that's been on the back burner for the longest kind of time, and I know it is a killer project. And for some reason, I haven't done it. And you talk about beat yourself up. Have you done that? Have you gone through stages where you're just like, really? What in the world is wrong with you?
Well, okay. So let's talk about one of the most massive failures that at least failure experiences that I've had. And as a side note, is actually in the book too, because people always ask.
I'm buying the book
there
as soon as we get off the phone.
it's like, oh, okay, all right. So a few years ago, I got into business with a gentleman, and here's the thing. I'm about to tell everybody one of their most scariest things, and they're going to be like, oh, my God, I can't stand real estate. But I also want to say at the end of the day, learning to deal with your own failures and overcome those challenges, they make you better, okay? Understand the team is so much better today because of what we went through. We would still have the same holes, you know, in our systems if we hadn't gone through it. But the long and short of it is, I may have mentioned this before, but the gentleman was able to embezzle around $800,000, and it was not exactly something where I jump up and go, okay, we'll be fine. You know, it was, how could I let that happen? What on earth did I do wrong? I mean, but this went on it was a battle for months because, and part of the challenge, the most difficult part of that challenge is that as that was going on, I got into a car accident and I was rear-ended. So it was very difficult for me to sleep, which if anyone has ever tried to make a decision while being sleep deprived, good luck. Heaven forbid you have that going on simultaneously with one of the worst mistakes. All of this, and it was just a challenge because I was in a position where I couldn't do much about the mistake. I had to rely upon the team. I couldn't go replace people like I needed to. There were just so many things that I couldn't do, and it was challenging to say the least. Every day,
now,
I'm talking every hour, every 15 minutes. It was not good.
Yeah, and this happened in your own company, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the story's in the book.
I'm buying the book. I promise I am.
Yeah.
It sounds like your book is a giant FAQ page. It's like frequently asked questions.
Right. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that in there. there's a lot of that in there.
Okay, so to go back to where you kind of got derailed, I mean, you're clocking along pretty good, and then life just completely derails you. You sucked your thumb for about 5 minutes, and then you got up, and why real estate? I mean, this was something you had never really bothered with, right? I mean, it wasn't, where you had any real expertise. So, and this is what I want our audience to understand. You know, the days of getting up, you know, my parents did this. I'm sure, most of our audience, their parents or grandparents did this. You got a job. You worked at that job until you retired. You went home. You sat on the porch and you had your pension and you went fishing. And, life was basically job, get married, job, pension, you die, as far as I could tell. Life is no longer like that. I mean, we have so many opportunities and so many different areas of interest. So that being said, how in the world did you decide to go from this series of catastrophes into real estate, which is not one of the easiest places to play?
Yes. Well, the even better than that is, typically when you ask someone, one of the best questions that people can ask is, have you ever considered getting involved in real estate investing? It's a question I still use today all the time. And the funny part is, typically people go, when you think about real estate investing, most people go, well, I don't have any money and I don't have any credit. So not only was I dealing with something I didn't know and I had all that baggage, I didn't have any money and I didn't have any credit. So it's like, it doesn't seem like it would be the natural choice.
No,
and honestly, there were two major reasons. I had previously been a financial planner, and I saw what my clients were doing. And I had three clients that I still believe to this day, only three, by the way, that are going to have any shot at a decent retirement. And it's because those three all had rental real estate. And I was like, okay, that seemed like a clue to me. And I was like, but I don't know anything about it. No one's exactly holding out their hand to show me how to do it. So what do I do? And then you put your head down and you go back to work. And then what happened after all that stuff was going on, a friend approached me saying, I got a solution for you. And, when you're experiencing all kinds of challenges, what you're looking for is a solution. And his solution, he said, was for me to become a real estate investor. Now, I don't know if you've ever watched a dog. When they're looking at you, occasionally they turn their head sideways and they just look like, huh? that kind of sideways
head. I experience that daily. Yes.
And that's exactly the look. I'm just like, that doesn't make it. It didn't make any sense to me. However, at that time, that's one of those moments when you got to realize your life is the result of what your best thinking has thus far produced. Your best thinking has produced the results that you're currently experiencing. And if you're not satisfied with that, there's only one person to blame. And I said, okay, he must know something I don't, because he knows I got no money, I got no credit, and he's still saying real estate's where it's at. And I'm like, okay, buddy, let's go find out. And it obviously, hindsight being 2020, it was the correct move, because I've learned so many things. And that's why that's why we do webinars on wholesaling. That's why the book is here, is to let people know your story's not over. Maybe real estate is where you need to go, but I know the concepts that real estate depend upon, the principles that real estate works on, are no different than any other business, and you have the ability to begin and practice and learn these things, because there have been many people that I've seen now go do many, many other different things, after getting started in real estate.
Right. I think what I find so fascinating about your story, and I know our audience does as well, you had no credit, you were squatting in your foreclosed house. I don't even know how long you were able to get by with that.
you learn you how to no, run from the police. It's good. It's an interesting thing.
Adrenaline.
You learn how to hide the car. You learn how to keep the curtains closed and how to not answer the door. Anyway. You learn.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I bet you do. You have to do what you have to, keep your family safe and survive. But it seems counterintuitive to have no credit, not be able to raise $75, and go into real estate investing. It's a fascinating story. So, Jay, would you mind kind of sharing your first transaction, how that came about? Because I'm telling you, my mind is not tracking. I'm trying to figure out how you did this.
Yeah, sure. Well, again, the thing is, when your desire is high enough, when your desire and intent are in the right spot, how is irrelevant. The facts don't count.
I believe that. You know, yeah, I do believe that.
So, and that's just, so I was working, to a degree, ignorance was my friend, because I didn't know how much work it would be and what it would take and what was really against me. I was trying to eat. So I was focused.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. Mm-hmm. My first transaction came about very similarly to the same way transactions come about today. I learned the sentence, and I already said it earlier, but I'll repeat it again. I would go to a networking group and tell people, because I didn't have the resources to be able to start like a marketing campaign or anything of that nature. So I would go places and I would say the following. Hi, my name is Jay. I'm a wholesaler. What that means is that I buy property at a discount and I sell property at a discount. What type of investing are you looking to do? Now, that's all I would say. And that's all I would say because I didn't know what else to say, so I wanted to get to a question as quickly as possible and get
right.
the other person talking.
Right. Now, let me interrupt just a second here. You don't need a real estate license for this, right?
No. And that's
okay.
The one part,
okay.
That's the thing about being a wholesaler is that when you learn to do it, which is, we go over this in the webinars and in the book, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, you're doing it as a principle. You're doing it as a principle of the transaction. You're not selling someone else's real estate. That's what you need a license for.
Mm-hmm.
You're not practicing real estate without a license because you're only transacting on real estate that you would own and or control. Those are the main, that's one of the biggest benefits because in fact, that was one of my questions too. It was like, do I need a real estate license? Because by that point, I was all licensed out. I'm like, I don't want to go get another license. And I think had he said, yes, you need a real estate license, I would have turned the other way. But he said, no. I was like, okay, cool. Then let's go.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And then once you ask that question enough, people are going to tell you, you know, what type of real estate investing they're looking to do. Now, eventually, you're like, well, that's great. They're looking to buy stuff. Well, eventually, when you keep asking that question, you're going to run into that person who's over the real estate euphoria, and they've probably had an experience or two, and they're like, I don't want to buy real estate. I'm looking to get rid of real estate. And that's what happened.
Mm.
I asked the question, and someone said, I'm not looking to buy anything, but I know this person over here, she's looking to sell. I was like, oh, okay. So I did what was natural. I went and talked to the person who they said was looking to sell, and they were right. She was looking to sell. I said, awesome. Tell me about what's going on. Now, here's the funniest thing about this transaction. Now, mind you, I'm still squatting in bank-owned property, and all this stuff is still going on, and I'm going to people saying, hey, this is what I'd like to do. It turns out that her property was in foreclosure. So I'm buying from someone who is in foreclosure while I'm in my own primary residence in squatting in bank-owned property. She had a property that was in foreclosure and was about to go to the auction. So I'm like, well, okay, how about we do this? How about I take over – if I take over the mortgage payments and make up the back payments and give you about $2,000, would that work? She's like, yeah, cool.
Now, Jay, you didn't
understand.
Have lunch money.
I know. This is the fun part. But I saw the
problem. You see
why
my mind is not
solution.
Tracking? Okay.
Yes. I'm getting to it. This is my but this is my point. What I saw was, A, there was a property. First of all, this happened to be a property in California. And so I was like, okay, it'll rent. I knew it would rent. That's all I knew.
Right.
And then when she told me, it just happened to be a property in California where the mortgage payment was like $600 a month. And I'm like, okay, hold on.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, all right, if that mortgage payment is $600, I know there's somebody who can pay more than $600. And what I had been learning in my courses was, well, find out what a property would rent for. And I saw that market rent was like $900 or $1,000. I was like, well, hold on. All right, we're on to something right now. So I knew that even though I didn't know how to find a renter, that there were people called property managers who knew how to find a renter. But what I needed was control or ownership of the property. I was like, okay, so to get control or ownership of the property, what I learned is I got to get the seller to say yes, and then we've got to fill out paperwork. I was like, okay, cool. So I had to think, what's going to solve her problem? Her problem was that she was behind. She didn't want to go to foreclosure. And then even after that was done, the mortgage payment still needed to be made. So I said, okay, if I get a tenant, that'll make the mortgage payment. That was check number one. Number two, if I've got to figure out a way to make up the arrears, the back payment. So I was like, how is that going to work? And then someone mentioned that, what's that?
First and last. I'm just thinking ahead here. You get a renter first and last, but I might be wrong.
Well, she was behind, I think, 4 or 5 months by this point. So it had to be all 5 months of payments. And then the property needed a little bit of rehab. And I was like, okay, well, instead of just saying, well, I don't have the money, let me dig a little deeper. How much are you behind and how much rehab was needed? So I said, hey, you know what? I don't know how to determine how much rehab is needed, but I bet you there are people who do. They know where Home Depot is. They know how to use hammers. Mm-hmm. You go tell me what that looks like. And then someone told me, and then I had the number of how much she was behind, and then I said, okay, so now what I need is I need someone who has $12,000. How can I make them an offer that they can't refuse? Because that's what it came up to. I needed $12,000, and at that particular moment, what I found is I think it was a gentleman who had $12,000 on a credit card or something, and he was willing to let me borrow his money, and then I would pay him back from the deal, and by doing other deals. And what happened was, you know, I then contacted a property manager. They went in and they found a person to go rent the property. The other contractor guy rehabbed the property and everything. It wasn't smooth, but it worked out. Yeah. And I was like, huh, I have the deed to the property, but I am technically squatting in bank-owned property myself. This is funny.
It's amazing. Now, let me ask you this. Did you assume the mortgage payments? Did you have to refund?
No.
How did
that work,
component?
That's typically the question I get at this point. There's a difference between, and there's degrees of difference, and understanding these degrees of difference in terms of seller financing is key and critical to your success. There's a difference between a mortgage assumption and subject to. So it's a strategy. What I just described is a strategy known as subject to. So I took the property over subject to the existing mortgage. And that not every title company knows how to do it. Not every escrow company knows how to do it. And you got to work. And that's what I'm saying. It was work finding all the people and players that could be assembled. But it was also the beginning of me understanding that I didn't need to understand how to do all the pieces. I needed to find the people who knew how to do all the pieces. I just needed to know what those pieces were and then go plug those people in, and that's exactly what I did. You know, if you asked me to process, you know, to research title today, it's still something I don't do. I don't know how to do, but that's not my – I'm not supposed to know how to do that. There are people who do that, and I let them do that. So,
well, that makes
sense. It's so I've operated from that standpoint for my entire career. So even from my very first rental property, I had a property manager because I knew I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not something you want to kind of get into and find out that you have bad renters in there. They stole. Like, I used to have rental property, and honestly, one time we rented to somebody who was kind of a friend, when they left, they took the towel bars with them. They took everything.
Wow.
It's like, really? I would rather have a property manager. I wouldn't want to try to deal with that.
Wow.
Nice.
I don't want to deal with it either.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing is to understand that only do that which you either A, want to do or what you do best.
Right.
The rest, you outsource or leverage or find someone, to help you with it because you don't know what all those things are. You can think you know, but you don't really know until you start going down that path. You have to start going down that path.
Right. Well, And I have a lot of questions. Honestly, we're going to get on the phone one day. I'm going to pick your brain. With your permission, of course.
Sure.
Only with your permission.
I hope you find something worthwhile in there. So that's my only request.
Oh, I already have twice now. I mean, this is our second show. Every time you ought to see my notes. I've got two blank pieces, or they were two blank pieces of paper, and I'm now on the fourth side. I keep flipping them over and adding more notes. I know this is really what I wanted to ask you too, because I mean, you've gone through this great story, and you know, gone into real estate. I mean, you're investing across a bunch of states and in our country. But you're also now very active in Belize, which I'm fascinated by because I really, really want to buy a piece of investment property in Belize.
Well, yeah, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, we're in the process of building a resort, and we're, you know, putting the things together necessary to allow, you know, U.S. citizens, and, well, it doesn't have to be U.S. citizens, but to allow diversification outside of the U.S. dollar, but still be, you know, a play for those who wish to have, you know, some sort of rental property in other jurisdictions. So it's definitely interesting. It's fun. It's definitely beautiful to go. It is by far the most pretty place I have ever seen, period. Mm-hmm. And so I never complain about having to visit the project.
I haven't been, but I've built several webs. Yeah, oh, and I'm dying to go, and I keep getting invited because I have clients there. And I've built several websites for companies that are based in Belize. And I've got a standing invitation. I just need to get there. I just haven't done it yet. But I'm very, very interested in how you would invest in Belize. So where would people go to find on your website? Where would they find information?
You're going to go to BelizeInvesting.com. BelizeInvesting.com is where in fact, you'll get some, I think it's a 10, 20-page ebook about international investing, and then you'll also be able to get a link to a video presentation, which is probably closer to 2 hours long. If you watch the whole thing, you'll be very caught up on everything, because there is a lot to learn between international taxes, asset protection, and who's coming down there and who the customer is.
Mm-hmm.
But these are all things that, you know, obviously we cover to help as many people as possible be able to understand how to move forward. So it's, I mean, this is what I love about real estate. It's everywhere, you know, and you need it. So live,
right.
Work, play, or lay. Like I've always said, you need a place to live. Your business needs a place to work. Play real estate is what this is all about. People like to play. When you go to an amusement park, that's, you know, you go to Disneyland, that's a real estate play. You go to Six Flags, that's a real estate play. You go visit a castle in Germany, that's a real estate play. It's everywhere you go, so there's no avoiding it. The only question is are you paying into it, or is it paying you? And this is an opportunity to have it pay you.
Right. Well, and I will, you know, I've downloaded the book. I have not watched the video, so that is going on my list of things to do this weekend. We've only got a couple of minutes, and we didn't get to cover this the last time you were here. You do something very interesting. It's an annual thing. It's a basketball camp for kids. Tell me about that. I would love to hear that story.
What happens is that you end up running into lots of many different individuals. And what I love to do is to grab attention, but also leave people with something that's tangible that they can use. So what we did is we did a basketball camp, and we partnered with the Rich Dad Organization to be, as well as a basketball camp international, BCI. So together, we all got together to create what is a cash flow camp as well as basketball training camp at the same time. So we were able to actually get an NBA coach to come. We got some college-level players to come. So we split the kids into two groups. One group goes and, you know, gets basketball skills, and then the other group hangs out with me and my team, and we teach them financial skills so that they can become real estate investors too. And we typically focus on the teenage and high school age children who have the ability to, you know, understand these concepts and move them forward in their life. And then we just switch back and forth all day. So sometimes you're playing basketball, other times you're playing a game, the cash flow 101 game with me, and you're learning financial concepts. And then what we find is that the kids go home, and then they start affecting their family. They start making different choices, and it's really cool just mm-hmm. to be a part of it.
Well, and that makes sense. I mean, one of my big gripes with education is that they teach you nothing that has anything to do with common sense. You know, you're not taught to. I mean, think about it. When you come out of school these days, you know, even when I was a kid, nobody taught me how to balance a checkbook. Nobody told me that I needed to, you know, have a list when I went into the grocery store so I didn't buy everything that just kind of took my eye. Common sense is just not taught in schools, and I think that's a crying shame. And like you say, right. if it is taught, if you do learn it somewhere, it does affect the change. It does affect change in your own immediate surroundings.
Well, and that's always my goal. That's mm-hmm. always my goal. Anytime someone plays cash flow with me, I hope that, you know, even in this conversation, that those listening picked up one or two or 12 things that they are able to go out there and use and change and pushes them in a completely different direction, because we're all on this path to becoming something better than what we are today. And I hope that, you know, that those listening allow me to influence their life in that way. And that's what I'm always striving to do. And there are many ways that all of us as individuals can do that if we would just begin doing something so that we would have something to say on the other end.
I absolutely agree. Well, tell people we are out of time. Can you believe? And we're out of time again. We always have so much fun when we chat. Tell people one more time where they can find you.
Yes, I'm over at thecashflowdiary.com. If you're still looking for to pick up a copy of the book, just send a text message. Send the word book, B-O-O-K, to 949-682-3565. For those of you internationally, feel free to go over to cashflowdiary.com/book. You'll see a video. You can also request a sample chapter first if that's more your style. And then you will be able to understand a little bit more about the story, the history, and you'll have some actionable keywords, actionable information that you can take advantage of as well. If you want to hear the podcast, you can go to cashflowdiarypodcast.com.
Nice. And you've got some great webinars that you put on. I mean, I watched a couple of them. They're fascinating. So where do people find those?
Oh, that's at cashflowdiary.tv. I do my best to answer as many questions as I can that come in. And if you've got deals that you want me to review, I tell you how to structure them, how to do them. It's always fun for me. I can't always get to everybody, but we do the best that we can.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Jay, thank you. I mean, you are such a delight to have as a guest. And I always walk away going, I can do that too. See, if he can do it, I can do it better type of thing.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
And I don't mean that in any kind of ugly way. It's inspiring to hear that, you know, you can just step up out of a mess and go, you know what, I'm not going to stay in this mess. I'm going to go do something fabulous. And then just own it. Yeah. And I love that story.
Thank you, and I appreciate you allowing me to influence you in that way. Now the rubber hits the road. Once you stop listening, what are you going to go start doing?
I am going to go buy your book.
Seriously, there you go.
Because I'm going to Belize. Trust me.
There it is. I love it.
I am going to own some property in Belize before the year is out.
Excellent. I know a guy who can help you with that.
I know. I think we know the same guy.
Jay, thank you.
You are a delight. Thank you so much, and you know, for sharing so much of your life and your systems, and I appreciate it, and I know the audience does as much as I do. So everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Jay Massey, J.Massey, and I will see you next week. Jay, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Welcome to the Ask Denise Griffiths Teleseminar Series.
You can find Denise Griffiths at your office on the web.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.